Thank you, Pastor Charlie. That's just, you know, I feel this morning that my truck is nearly empty. I have one more thing on my heart to do. And that's always a good feeling for me. It's these days, I think I'm getting older. It's not about whether people like me. It's not about, did you do what you wanted to do? I'm a free man, and I hope I've sown that this last couple of days. If you like me, that's awesome. If you don't, I don't care. If we come from a... Tom, are you playing Angry Birds or something? You put that thing away right now. Okay, all right. You put that thing away now. Slap your legs, I will, in public. Gadgets with me.
I was thinking of the word.
Gadgets with me, brother. Do that. I don't care. Because the sun set me free from public opinion. And I knew when I came here this weekend that the Lord loaded my truck. And I feel that we've successfully unloaded it. I've got one more box to take off this morning. And then I'm going home to my wife and kids. And I've got five beautiful kids and an incredible wife. And hey, it's been a real joy to be back in the colonies. Keep massaging that. Queen sends her regards. And always give the keys back to her anytime. Go on, I'm going to keep massaging that. I'm on something. I can feel it. The blood's coming. See, whenever you massage something, it releases the blood into it. So what you do when you get a massage, you release the blood back into it. And sometimes the Lord will offend you to release the blood back into where he wants to go. And again, I don't know where some people got their Jesus from, because I hear about this lovely Jesus that never said anything wrong, just meek and mild. I'm like, I don't see that in the Gospels. I see a man that knew who he was, he knew where he'd come from, he knew where he was going, and he knew why he was here. And he didn't bear fools lightly, and he didn't like religion in any way. He didn't come to be nice to religion, he came to turn over the tables, because religion was what separated people from God. Religion still separates people from God today. So we don't play with religion. We don't have an alliance with religion. And I really sense a couple of things before I get into the message. Where's Kevin? Kevin's over there, right? The Lord's restoring the gates of praise to his house. So get ready and accommodate it. You're a man of great intimacy. One thing I love about you is your ability to hear what's being preached and then translate it straight away into song. I think that's a very unique gift, and I think that's very beautiful. But as I've heard your worship this week, what you've done, I don't know if others noticed, but you were taking the key elements of the messages, and you were translating them into worship. Amen. I think that's absolutely amazing, and I love that. But I also had a picture for you this morning, that you're a man of a secret place, an intimacy place with God. You love it. You'd be quite happy if it was just you and Jesus. Yeah? But you see, the Lord sent people to your life and they're banging on the door and you need to let them in. You need to let them in. Because as you've discovered the keys of worship, the Lord wants you to understand the keys of praise. But some of the keys are not in you. They're in other people that he's sending you. And I can just see that the Lord wants to bring the gates of praise back to this place, because our praise is a weapon. And you know that, brother. Our praise is a weapon. But he's not asking you to do or be anything more. He's asking you to allow others now to join the team of who you are. And what I felt was, I kept seeing a playground. And I really felt, and take this in a good spirit, not a bad spirit, he wants you to play well with others. He wants you to play well with others. He loves the intimacy you have with him. But the kingdom needs you to play better with others. And so the Lord's going to begin to send people, and don't be threatened, but allow them to complement the sound of the house, because the Lord wants to establish the gates of praise. Because we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Amen. And I just see that as the praise here begins to come, not just from you, but from those that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have will I give to you. You've got to be the such as you are, but allow the Lord to bring in the silver and gold that you're not, and it's going to change the sound of this stage. Going to take it to another level, not in worship, because you're there, my brother, but in praise. So the Lord wants you to walk out in the playground and play well with others, because he's restoring the gates of praise in this place. Amen? Praise God. Praise is awesome. Praise is a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. And I really believe that the Lord is awakening a mighty army. He's awakening the army. He's awakening a sleeping giant. He really is. And please, you know, when I'm long gone, please keep us in your prayers. The things that we're doing in England now are very dangerous. The devil's tried to starve us out. He's tried to bankrupt us out. He's tried everything to stop us. So pray for us. Keep us in your hearts with support, because when this breaks in England, something's going to break across Europe. Because Africa is no longer the dark continent Europe is. Europe is. There's hunger in Africa. There's no hunger in Europe. So please pray for me. I'm not a nice vicar. You probably worked that out right. I want to lead a militia. And what I love about the alliance between America, I'm not going to share any of this, but I think it's important. The alliance between America and England is we've always fought well together. All right, the Americans turned up at the end of a war, I know that. But they did, they were good. But in that moment, do you know that Winston Churchill, now take this respectfully, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, that was a terrible thing, I'm not saying it wasn't. But that morning, Winston Churchill got out of his bed and he danced around his bedroom. He said, "The sleeping giant has just got up." Because we were fighting Hitler, we were fighting an enemy, and we were saying, "Help, help us, help us." But all of a sudden, it was that moment at Pearl Harbor that America said, "Let's stand next to England, we've got to do this thing." Oh, I feel God on that. I do, I do. But it says Churchill, not because of what had happened to the poor people on the ships and that. It says he got out of bed when he heard about Pearl Harbor and the anger within the heart of America. It says Winston Churchill got out of bed and started to dance around his room. He said, "The sleeping giant is awake. The sleeping giant is awake." And it was that moment an alliance came between America and England. And we were able to chase out a tyrant. We have a worse tyrant. Hitler's nothing. He was just a son. We've got a strong man we need to bind. And so I'm asking you to keep us in prayer, seriously. I know you're a prayerful people. Pray for us in what we're doing, because I'm not there to fit in. I'm there to raise a militia, because we want to get the kingdom of God back to God. Amen. So praise God. I've had a wonderful time. It was brilliant meeting Pastor Charlie, and I met Pastor Susie this morning. I thought he was lying, he was married, to tell you the truth. See how I can go from so deep to so shallow really quick. It's a gift. My guys say it's like a flip of a coin. You don't know what's coming next. They're like, keeps them on their toes. I thought he's not married. He's making it up. He's got like a photo of someone that he's taken off of the internet. And so when Pastor Susie came in this morning, I thought, praise God. I thought, wow, he hit above his rank, didn't he? And that's what I thought. Be honest with you, I'm an honest man.
Yeah.
I thought, did he prophesy to get her or what? I don't know what he did to that. But good on you, good on you. We've always got to punch above our weight. And you did there, you won. You really won, my brother. And it's just a joy to be a part. This week, the Lord's really done some stuff, eh? And today, I just want to put a word that just, if you catch this, these three words have defined me as a person, kept me as a person. How are you doing this morning, Lisa? You all right? Feeling good? Great. I'm in my own little world, so forgive me if I just kind of get all over the place. So these words have defined me. They've been some of the strongest words in my life, and we're going to look at those in a moment. Please avail yourself. That was very British. The bookshop. And Tess is going to be there to serve you in that. And again, one more time, if you're a mighty man or you want to be a mighty man, because every person should want to be a mighty man, mighty woman of God, you need to read this book, The Glass of Water. Many churches get this book for their leadership teams because it's so raw, not many pastors will sit and say this stuff to their teams. They won't. I will, because I'm a free man. I've been delivered from the opinion of man. I'm a free man. This morning I'm a free man. Do you know? We're all to be free men. The opinion of man and the fear of man dominates people too much. Now, I'm not a rebel. I'm an accountable man, but I'm a free man. My life is under accountability, but I'm a free man. And I just believe God's been setting people free this week. So a glass of water, if you want to be a super servant, and be what God wants you to be to your David. If you haven't got a David, you should have a David. Because everyone needs a priest. Everyone needs a David. So if you've not got a David, you need to get yourself a David, and then you need to serve your David. So glass of water, that's important. I'll leave that to you, my brother.
Thank you, brother.
God's blueprint for his church. This is seriously, you need to get this into your heart. If you're just a Christian that wants to sit on your blessed assurance and let everybody go to hell because you're all right, you're a selfish brat.
Yeah.
It's who you are. It's who you are. But you're loved by him. It's who he is. Come on. We've got to mobilize this army. We've got to mobilize a militia. Everyone's got a part to play. The way the Lord describes his church is as a body. Everyone's got a part to play. You've got a part to play. Now, if you've been sitting here spectating for a few years, praise God, that's really good. But it's not normal to stay a spectator. That's entertainment world. What happens now, let me tell you, if you're still spectating, like you're not getting involved in children's church, you're not getting involved in hosting team, you're not getting involved in making church happen. This is what God thinks is normal. You move from a period of spectating to servanthood. And you won't be fulfilled till you do. Because spectators just watch, you see. But servants, when you begin to serve the kingdom, there's a download of the Lord. And then you serve so hard, all of a sudden, you become a steward. Because we're servants and stewards over the mysteries of God. We're not spectators. And so everyone's got a part to play in the body of Christ. Amen. So there we go. I'm going to give that to you. I don't know why. Yeah? Is that cool? That's £1,000, please. I'm joking. It was a gift. Breakfast of champions. I'm not talking Wheaties. I'm talking the real deal. Like I said, if I've done nothing but offend you, well, thank you. Let me do it in the privacy of your own home. Have you got one of these, Lisa? Oh, you need to have that. You really do. Because Gina preaches in that. And you'll know when she's preaching. It actually makes sense. Anyone got a loved one that's away from the Lord that you're believing for? Anyone? Yeah, cool. This is for you. This is an incredible book. I didn't write this because then otherwise I'd be calling myself Lindsay Doss and that wouldn't be right. But we did publish this. I've got a publishing company as well. And when we published this, it was an incredible book. It was one of my most candid books I've ever read. And how many people are familiar with Miss Karen Wheaton? She's a very dear friend of mine. I love Karen. She's an incredible woman of God. Well, this is her daughter, and her daughter was raised in a Christian home, was in ministry, was married to the pastor of the church, and all of a sudden one day had a thought. Why is everything about making them happy? I need to be happy. And that one thought took her away from her husband, her children, and everything that was good in her life. And it's such an open book, this really is. But the good news is, then one day she had a thought, I wonder if he'll take me back. This is brutal, this book. When this starts to hit some of the Christian shows like Daystar and all that, it's going to go crazy. Because it's a book of hope. But God can still turn anything around. I don't know why I want to give that to you as well. I mean, it's because Tommy's been out eating and having all the fun. Beating on you today, Tom. Don't you? I know you're thinking, iPad. I can see it in your eyes. iPad. Gotta get my iPad. What if someone's messaging me? Oh, my phone just vibrated. What if?
I did exactly.
Yeah. Relax. Can you take his phone off of him, Lisa, please? That was meant to be a blessing. I don't know if you need any more eye products. I really don't. If I was going to buy you any other eye product, it would be an iron. So it can help your wife. Yeah, that's right. Anyway. Well, praise the Lord. Here we are. Have you had a good time? And I'm just going to download some stuff in my heart. If you've got your Bibles with you, that's really good. It's good to bring them to church. I don't read my Bible on gadgets. I'm just so old school. I really am. There's something about the written book. And I just don't, you know, I've tried to read my Bible on my gadgets. I'm not mocking you or I'm not judging. It's just me. I don't know. I just like, I love the old book. I just love the old book. I love the smell of it. I love the feel of it. That's why I've got sellotape all over my Bible, because I get a new one. I'm like, I need to break this one in. This one's broken in. This is my friend, this one. So, turn your Bibles wherever you want, because we're free people. I'm going to turn mine to John 15. It'll kind of make more sense if you're reading from John 15 as well. But again, I'm not a legalistic. If you want to turn to Acts, you go ahead. You enjoy yourself this morning. Now, chapter 15, I've alluded to some of this stuff this week, but I really want to embed this in. This is my leaving greeting to you, because these three words will change your life. They'll be the point of your ministry to others. They'll be your victory in every battle. And the three words I'm talking about, are you ready? Remain in me. Remain in me. I'm going to preach on those words for a few moments. I'm actually going to, I get things from God and I write in my journal, but I know that if I don't shut my journal, we're going to be here for 3 hours today. So let's just go with what God's saying there, okay? Verse 1. Hold on, Holy Spirit, would you just bless the reading of your word this morning? Holy Spirit, would you lift these words off of the page and imprint them in our hearts? Imprint them in my heart again, Holy Spirit. I've read them hundreds of thousands, but again today, Lord, today again, Lord. Do it again, Holy Spirit. Make this revelation in my heart and in the heart of a hearer. Verse 1, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This is the Lord speaking. Like I've said, don't make Jesus your buddy. Let him remain your Lord. It's good that he welcomes you to friendship. But woe to the man who stops seeing the Lord as the Lord. He's the King of Kings. Don't let familiarity, don't be a Christian hippie, but allows familiarity to come into your life and remove the wonder and the awe of who he is. Because some people are actually going to know him as they should when they see him seated on his throne. But you need to see him on his throne today. You'll never use his name in vain. You'll never use his name in vain. Only if you stop seeing him as the Lord. It's like when I'm in Walmart or somewhere like that. Just, I'm not there to shop, I'm just there to be entertained and watch for the Walmart folk register. Brilliant, they're brilliant, it's awesome. But when I'm there and I hear people use his name, doesn't it prick your heart? It's because I know him. I'm not an educated man. I'm a very simple man. My qualification is I know him. I've been with him and I walk with him. And more than ever these days, when I'm in a shop and somebody uses his name in vain, it's like, ooh. And everything in me was, don't say that name. That name's above all names. I mean, why don't they pick on someone that's a false god? Why don't they go, oh, Buddha? It's true, they want to. Oh, Buddha. Oh, Allah. Why the name of my Lord? Because it's a name above all names. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. That's a great revelation of the Lord there. But he is your loving Father, but he is also the gardener in your life. Which means he loves you enough to not just smell the scent of your life, but to prune you as well. And his purpose for your life is fruitfulness. Amen. Pruning's not funny, in it. Weeping may endure for a night, but rejoicing will come in the morning. Actually, one of the elements of maturity in the faith is when you stop whining when he's pruning you. And you begin to say, come on, God, bring it on. I love a good roasting. It's babies that go, I don't know what my Lord's doing, why is he doing this to me? Grow up. into the fullness of the stature of what he asks you to be. Because he loves you, he prunes you. His pruning is a manifestation of his love. Because he knows your potential and he knows he's got to prune you to produce your potential. And again, we've got to see the Lord as God. We've got, oh, I just saw myself up there. Hey. How you doing? Sorry. We've got to see him as God. And we've also got to see him as the blacksmith, because we're in an age at the moment, you know, when this is important about our praise as well, again, Kevin, but when Israelite, when the Philistines wanted to just keep Israelites just useless, you know, the strategy they had, it's awesome. They just shut down the blacksmiths. Because a singing army really isn't a major threat to an army that's equipped. And so what they did is they took away the blacksmiths so that the Israelites couldn't have any swords, which meant that they sung real well and their praise was a weapon, but they couldn't fight like they were meant to. And over the last few years in the entertainment culture of the church, we didn't realize that in some ways the enemy was shutting down the blacksmiths. But people can sing well and stuff like that, but they don't know how to fight. They don't know how to use the sword. And the Lord's putting the sword back in our hands. That's why if you'd not been in a discipleship program for a while, get in one. Get in one. Learn your word. Learn your word. Add the weapons of our warfare, because we're a rising army and we're going to have swords in our hands. Amen? So sometimes he's the blacksmith, sometimes he's the gardener. Okay, here we go. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, because you were destined to bear fruit and fruit that remains. While every branch that does bear fruit, somebody say, that's me. He prunes. Praise the Lord. So his pruning is the manifestation that you haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's because you've done everything right. And you see, the Lord doesn't want you this year to produce the fruit you did last year. Because he's done stuff in you that he didn't do before. And now he wants his harvest. The Lord wants his harvest. And then it carries on. It says, every branch that he does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear even more fruit. It may be even more fruitful. I love that. The Lord's purpose for my life is fruitfulness. And he prunes me. And pruning is not funny, but he's pruning me to produce more fruitfulness. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We need to understand that the word that's been spoken has cleaned us. Remember, we spoke on Romans 6 that we've died, we've been buried, we've risen to newness of life. It's a new day because of the word he's spoken over us. And then he says it, remain in me. Remain in me. You see, when you rose from the dead in this life, when you were born again and you came to newness of life, your life at that moment was positioned in him. Your life was put in him. Your life is in Christ today. Not when you get to heaven. When you were born again, at the cross, your life was placed in him. His death was your death. His burial, your burial. Just like if I put a credit card in my Bible, you may not see the credit card, but everywhere the Bible goes, the credit card goes with it. And we apprehend this by faith. So we say, Lord, when you died, I was in your death. When you were buried, I was in your burial. And when you rose, because you didn't stay dead, I rose in you. Yeah. So now our lives are positioned in Christ. All we need to do is remain in Christ. Because when we remain in Christ, he remains in us. When I pray in the morning, I have very simple prayers because I'm a simple man. I keep telling you that. That I think of myself joined to him, forgiven. But then I say this, two steps. Lord, I'm in your authority. And your authority is in me today. Lord, I'm in you, so I'm in your peace. And your peace is in me today. Because there's a union between God and me. He placed me in himself. Now I've got to just do these three words, remain in me. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So you can't bear fruit unless you remain in him. Oh, you can bear fruit of your natural abilities, but that's not the fruit the Lord's looking for. The fruit that the Lord's looking for is what he does through your life by his Spirit. But if you're not abiding in the vine, the Spirit that's in the vine isn't coming into the branch. Which means you may be producing fruit, but it doesn't mean that that's fruit that's glorifying God. Because is it the fruit that his nature produced? Or just your own efforts? Remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. These are good, simple truths. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in Christ. How do you remain in Christ? By acknowledging that your life is now positioned in Christ and not wanting an existence outside of Christ. And then it says this. Was that your gadget again?
No.
I'll be on you like white on rice if that is.
Everything's on silent all the time.
Like a chubby kid on school lunches, I will be on you. If any chubby kids just got offended, I was a chubby kid, so I'm speaking out of my own experience. So you're all right. Be free. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. So often, if you meet someone in the kingdom that's withering, don't give them counseling. Help them to rejoin their life to the vine. Because they've separated themselves. And they've separated themselves from the life that's meant to be in them. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and he withers. Such branches, they're dead. And so they're picked up and they're thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Why? Because if you're remaining in him, his will is remaining in you. So your prayers won't be selfish coming from your understanding, but your prayers will be coming from his will in you. Well, I don't believe that. Then why does the Bible say it's he that wills in you to do of his good pleasure? When you're remaining in him, his will and your will, like his Spirit and your Spirit, are joined together and they're one. He who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with the Lord. So if you're remaining in him, your prayers won't be selfish prayers of self-success. They'll be prayers that actually come from, I believe, the heart of God. That's why it says whatever you wish. And then you say you've got people going, well, I'm praying and God's not doing something. And you're like, are you remaining in the vine? Well, no, I've just... Well, no, you've got an issue, haven't you? Because you're praying prayers out of your old nature, not out of a new one. This is to my Father's glory, sonship. Jesus is saying, this is about how my Father gets glorified, not you. Sonship. You see, he never did anything he didn't see his Father do. This is to my Father's glory. See, he didn't say, oh, this is for my glory. Because Jesus knew the glory that he had was the glory of his Father. Lord, you gave me your glory. This is to the Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Remember what we taught this week? There's crowd and there's disciples. The crowd don't bear fruit that glorifies the Lord. The disciples do. The evidence of your discipleship is not how well you can teach the Bible. It's, is there fruit that remains in your life? Are you producing stuff? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. Oh, there's that word that Christians hate, but they really should love it more than any other. Obedience. The favorite word of a believer should be obedience. Because obedience is the manifestation of your love for your Father. And Jesus said, how do I remain in the love of my Father? Sonship. I remain in the love, not by preaching and doing, but being obedient to what he's asked me to do. So when we walk in obedience with our life, with our money, with any area of our life, we're actually showing our love to him. Because like I said the other day, and this shocked some people last night when I said, there's a severe lack in the Gospels of Jesus telling anyone that he loved them. I don't know, again, where some of us get this Jesus. Jesus wasn't walking. Look in the Gospels for yourself. He wasn't walking on, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, I love you. Don't forget, boys, I love you. Because love is a verb. He showed his love in what he did. And so we need to be like that, don't we? I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Ah, so the root of joy is remaining in him and walking in obedience to him. I'm not talking about happiness where you laugh for a few minutes. I'm talking about joy, the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Because you see, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you're being obedient and you're remaining in him, whatever's in the Spirit is in you. I don't have to go and get joy. I just release joy in my life. I can have a really... My wife, I went through a season where I would wake up hysterically laughing. That's not a bad way to live, is it? My wife would wake me up. She said, you're doing it again. And I was... Don't worry about who's emailing you, Tom. Stop it. His little eyes go, don't they? You see that, right? Stop it. Just enjoy the moment. I'll be gone tonight and you'll be saying, I wish I spent more time with a man. You've got me now. I don't go and get joy. I've got joy. And so I was waking up and it was a season that was really tough in my life. So I didn't really have nothing to laugh about. But you see, happiness comes from external forces, but joy comes from within you. All right, I better stop there, otherwise we will be here for a couple of days. So Jesus is teaching something very deep. And if I was teaching theological students, I would say, here's my title for what he's teaching. It's called The Order of Existence. And what he was teaching his disciples was very simple. I don't remain because of you. You remain because of me. So Jesus is probably by a grape bush or something like that. He's probably by a vine. He's probably by a tree or something. And he's looking at his disciples going, they just don't understand their order of existence. Let me help them. Because Jesus was a very simple preacher. And he said to him, okay, stay with me, boys. See that grapevine over there? Yeah, we see it, Lord. We see it, boss. We see it. See that grapevine? Okay. This is going to be very deep. Watch me, because this could go over your head really quick, but you need to grab this. Okay, see the grapevine yet? Now listen. Me vine. You branch. I'm done. And the disciples were like, and no, there's no and. That's it. I'm the vine. You're the branch. I don't exist because of you. You live and move and have your being because you're joined to me. I need nothing from you because I'm joined to my Father. You need everything from me to live and move. So all I'm saying, boys, is I'm the vine and you're the branches. Remain in me and then who I am will remain in you and you will bear much fruit. Bearing fruit isn't hard. Religious Christians make it hard. They're like constipated apple trees. I'm just working on patience and another fruit of the Spirit. wrong with you? That's not natural. That's not natural. You'll hurt yourself. Stop it. Imagine if you went to an orchard when apples are coming from trees. And it was a hot day, you got yourself a lemonade and you sat next to an apple tree at the time when apples were produced. And all of a sudden the apple tree would go, and then all of a sudden, out comes an apple, and the apple tree is giving, mama, that'll bring a tear to a glass eye. You'd say, what is this, like Harry Potter world or something? What is this? Isn't normal. But I meet loads of Christians like that. Because they're trying to produce the fruit of the vine in their own strength. Instead of realizing and acknowledging, not in church, but every day of your life, he's the vine and you're the branch. So just like the apple tree, the branch of the apple tree does nothing except remain. But as it remains, the life that's in the vine comes into the trunk, into the branch, and the branch bears much fruit. Simple. Simple. We remain in him. Not in church. Everywhere we go. And as we do, we bear much fruit, but glorifies the Father and remains. Any fruit we produce in ourselves, it doesn't remain. It doesn't last long at all. It has a shelf life on it. But the fruit we bear for him goes into the next kingdom. Because you do know you're going to be who you are now in the kingdom of God, heaven, right? You're not going to be walking around heaven going, who am I? I think I have a vague recollection that I've lived before. No, you'll wake up and the rewards will be the life you lived here. What the Lord gives you leadership of, because we're not going to be fat angels playing harps, sorry, on a cloud. The Lord's going to give people authority over cities and towns and villages. And what you did in this life will determine the authority you have in the next. So again, if you want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, be good. Be faithful. And serve. Because the Lord's secure. He doesn't need to pander to make you feel nice. He'll say it as it is. I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thomas. Stay focused, please. I'm trying to disciple you this morning. Now stay focused. Thomas, have we not talked about this?
Yes, we have.
You leave him alone. He's learned. He's you leave him.
Bad influence.
Leave it. And you, I'm watching you as well. One eye hit. I'm like Marty Feldman. My eyes are going everywhere this morning. I'm like, all right, so we remain in him. Are we getting something this morning?
Yes.
But we remain in him, and as we do, we bear much fruit. You see, he is the vine and we are the branches. And I shared this story, and it is true. When we opened the church 20 years ago, we were called Abide in the Vine Family Church, because this revelation of John 15 was one of the key signature revelations that defined me as a person, and it still does. If you would say, what's Andy going to preach when he's John 15? I love John 15. I love John 15. I love John 15. I love it because it reveals my identity. It reveals who I am. And it gives me the authority that I walk in, because if I'm in him, his authority is in me. It defines my joy, it defines my peace, it defines everything. Because if I'm in him, whatever's in him is in me. Because you want to know, I wonder what the secret of this man's kingdom success is. I'll tell you, it's the union I have with God through Christ. That's the secret of my life. The union I have with God through Christ. But I know he's the vine and I'm the branches. So we opened a church called Abide in the Vine Family Church. And I was putting the garbage out one day and my neighbor came to me and said, he saw my t-shirt, big bunch of grapes. You know, Christians love certain things like grapes and eagles and that. We love that stuff, don't we? And he said, oh, I'm a part of a wine testing club too. Part of a wine. Then I got it. I thought, oh, so we went and changed the name. But our mission statement, again, I'm embarrassed because I used to go to conferences and people say, my mission statement is to change the nations one person at a time and to bring it. I'm like, whoa, woof. What's yours? Break them off, graft them in, teach them how to suck sap. No, that's it, I'm done. That's my mission statement. Because when you read Romans 11 and you overlay Romans 11 over John 15, yes, the Lord's speaking in Romans 11 about the union of the Gentile church and the Jewish church to one root, because where we meet a point of union, Jew and Gentile, was actually in the root. But Abraham is our father as well, because we find faith. We find our position in faith. So again, if you try to find your connection with all things Jewish by what they do, you're deceived. We are a Gentile church, but two pastures have become one new man. But we find a point of union in Christ and in Abraham. Not just Christ and in Abraham. But again, let's not get carried away with what the expression of what that is. Let's be an American church or English church. And again, I kind of upset some people with that. I think I did my job with that the other day when I shared on it. Yeah, I was done there. My work there was finished. You're doing all right, Tom. You're getting it. I can feel the breakthrough. I can feel it. I can feel it happening.
It's happening.
It's breaking out. So, see, when you read Romans 11, it simply says this. It says, you need to know that you were grafted in. You know, the Jewish people, it actually says to the Gentile, what's he after? Did I bore you?
No, he's going to get my
okay. Back. All right, okay. All these distractions. Seriously. So, he says to the Gentile church, don't you be haughty, because you were grafted in. And don't think for a moment that you can't be broken back off. Because the joining to Christ is just a matter of faith, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. The issue of being joined to the vine is faith alone. It joins the Jew and the Gentile to the vine. But in that, I love that, because we need to realize in the Garden of Eden, that's exactly what happened to us. But in the Garden of Eden, we were born in Adam, and the life of the vine was in us because we were attached to the tree of life. But then through the deception of the snake and what Adam did, and we were in Adam when he did it. Because that always annoyed me. I was like, well, why did I get thrown out of the party? I didn't eat the apple. You ever think of stuff? I'm like, I didn't do that. I mean, when I was a sinner, I got thrown out of parties because I did stuff. But sometimes they threw me out and I said, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. It was nothing to do with it. It was someone else. You're giving me the blood. I'm like, so the whole of creation and humanity get thrown out of a garden because of what Adam did. Thanks, Adam. I didn't do nothing wrong. But I was born disqualified. There's nothing wrong. But the Lord says, yes, but every coin's got two sides. If everything you were could be defined negatively in the actions of one Adam, everything you need to be restored is defined in the actions of the last Adam. So it took one man to blow it. It takes one man to restore it. If it takes one man to ruin it for the human race, it only takes one perfect man to restore the human race. So when my life is in Christ, it's no longer in the first Adam, which means I'm a child of God, I'm born again. All right? Now, when we were separated, it was like God said, all right, sorry, Adam, your nature now is a sin nature. I've got to join you to the nature that you've drunk from. And so Adam was become a child of the devil. The nature of the devil was in him. Nature of rebellion was in him. It wasn't the nature of God anymore. He didn't die physically or mentally. He didn't walk out of the Garden of Eden going, I mean, he was alive in his soul and he was alive in his body, but he was dead spiritually to God because he'd been separated from the vine. But he was joined to another vine, so he was alive, but actually he was alive with death. Right? So when you were born again, I know it was a moment in the meeting where you had some tingles and you're like, ooh, I just got born again. But actually it was awesome what God did. Because that was the moment, even though Christ died once for all, he doesn't die when you get born again, he died once for all. When you enter into his death by faith, faith alone, Romans 11, it's like the Lord, walks across to the garden again, to the wild olive tree that you were joined to, takes hold of you as a branch, doesn't ask the permission of the wild olive tree, he breaks you off and leaves a big hole where you once were, walks back across the garden and joins you again to the tree of life and now says, drink. So you've been broken off and you've been grafted in. So all you need to do now is learn how to suck sap. Get the life of the vine that you're now joined to into the branch of who you are. It's simple. Right? Christianity is so simple, isn't it? I don't know why theologians make it so difficult. I really don't. It's really simple. Now again, did you have to struggle when you were joined to this vine? I never woke up in the morning going, I just can't sin today. I just can't do it. It's just not in me today. I can't do it. I know I've got to go punch some innocent person in the face and get drunk and ruin some girls. I just can't do it. I just can't lie today. I can't be a filthy liar today. I was just like, it came natural. Didn't even have to think. Got out of bed, hurt everyone, lied to everyone, destroyed everything I touched. Because unknowingly, all I was doing was yielding to the vine to which I was connected, that Adam joined me to, and I was letting the life of that vine flow through me and produce the fruit that glorified the devil. So, okay, if there's a hole where I was, that means that the nature is still coming up the trunk and it's coming out of the hole, but it's not coming into me because I'm over here. Oh, look at all that muck coming out of that hole, but that's my hole. That's where I was. But this is where I am now. I've been joined by the Lord. He's joined me to himself. And now the life of the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life is coming through my veins. So all I've got to learn to do is let the life of a vine come into the branch of who I am. How do I do that? Just by acknowledging what God has already done, not what he's going to do. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, my Pastor Vaughan taught me this, Philemon 6. But the communication, the living out of your faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's now in you in Christ Jesus. I remember when I heard that verse, I thought that means nothing. And Pastor Vaughan, Tommy knew him, he was hilarious. He was a really scary prophet character. He really was. And he used to make us sing Bible verses to cheesy songs. And you've got to understand that I am naturally sarcastic. It's in me. I don't try again. It's just like, I have to, what? And he used to stand us there and he used to say, all right, we're going to learn a new song. And the song tuned, it was like the Muppet Show tune. Every time I was singing it, I was thinking of, do, 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 you know. And he would stand us there, because you see, repetition gives birth to revelation.
That's good.
You want revelation, get into the repetition of the scripture. And so that's what he was doing. I understand it now because I was young and now I'm old and I've grown up. But he would make us stand there over and over again, Pastor Charlie, going, that the communication, I even remember the tune. That the communication of your faith may become, he's probably in heaven laughing at me like, he got it at last. Yeah, Vaughan's looking, he got it. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So today, as you see yourself in him, what's in him is in you. Amen. This is Christianity. But Jesus didn't want to burn you out. You did that. You're getting there. It's like, who cares about the iPhone? Who cares about the iPad? Who cares? I'm a free man. Yeah, Remain in him. Because then all the authority you need is in you in Christ. All the joy you need is in you in Christ. You already have what you're looking for, but you don't know it. It's a dead work to try and pursue what you already own. We're called to good works, not dead works. Many Christians I meet, they're like the little old man that decides that he's going to do some woodwork and that stuff, and he suddenly needs his pencil. And so he says, it's in the shed somewhere. She's in the shed somewhere. And so he looks for his pencil and he empties the whole shed. And he can't find his pencil anywhere. and he's livid, and he puts all the stuff back in the shed, and his wife comes out and says, "What's the matter?" He went, "I'm looking for that pencil." She said, "It's behind your ear." And that's a good picture of a lot of Christians. They're striving to gain what they already possess, instead of by faith acknowledging and laying hold of what Christ has already given. Jesus isn't going to do anything more for you. He did it all 2,000 years ago. And you lay hold and take possession of what he has done for you. Everything he's done is historic. Now you lay hold of it by faith. All right, we could go in about 10 different directions right now. Let me pick the right one. Okay, when you understand this, all the power you need is now within you in Christ. And, you know, Christians live like Gulliver. Remember the story of Gulliver? He was tied down by the citizens of Lilliput. And when you understand who you are, the citizens of Lilliput, the little people and the little things won't be able to hold you down anymore. But you've got to discover that the life in you is greater than the life that's coming against you. Again, your confidence is who you are in the vine, not who you are away from the vine. Because away from the vine, you're just dead. In the vine, you can do all things. This is what Paul said. He wasn't arrogant. He said, "I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me." What was Paul saying? My union with him means I can do anything. Because Christ in me is the hope of glory. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So some of you may feel like Gulliver, and you're kind of down at the moment. And you're like, oh, everything's tying me down. Everything's tying me down. I can't get up. I've got no strength. This is nice down here. I'm going to sleep on the plane on the way home. Anyway, you're down, and all of a sudden, let me just make sure I'm Pentecostally fit. Hold on, no belly. Someone put a cloth on me. So I'm down. And like Gulliver, he's down there and he wakes up and he's tied down and he's like, all these little people are going, we got you. You are a prisoner. And Gulliver looks around and says, Are you kidding me? Do you know what's in me? You little Lilliputs, me big giant. Me Tarzan, you Jane. And he says, I think I'm ready to get up. And he released the life that was in him and just decided to get up. And he got up, and everything that was holding him down broke and snapped, because what was in him was greater. You won't get up until you realize it's Christ in you.
That's right.
And your union with him. I'll be in the Philippines in 2 weeks preaching. Pray for me. We're going to do some significant things in the Philippines. I love the Philippines. And it's amazing when you go to the Philippines or you go to India or somewhere like that. You often go to places, especially in India, you'll see an elephant, a huge elephant, massive, rah, big ears. Ooh, it's a small Tom. And you've got small ears.
Yes.
Anyway. I have no filter. You probably realised that, right? And so you see this huge elephant and it's tied to a little bit of wood, and it's going. And you look at it, you say, this isn't normal. That elephant just needs to just do whatever it wants to do. But you see, what they did is when it was a child, in its formative years, they conditioned it. Because when it was young, that pole was strong, and it could hold it. So they tied the leg of the lion to it, the elephant to it. And the elephant spent a little bit of time going, and it soon concluded, I can't be free from that. The rope and the stick are too strong. But it didn't see itself grow. The only way to help that elephant is if another elephant comes alongside of it and says, in elephantese. I don't speak elephant, I don't speak monkey, I don't speak anything. And says, it can't hold you. The life in you is greater than the strength of that stick and that rope. And then suddenly it can say, I've been conned. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be a slave to this anymore. And it just walks away and gets on with its life. The revelation of his life now in you is the only point of freedom that you need. But we're good Pentecostals, so we make everything about altar calls and people laying hands on us and squeezing our heads like cantaloupe melons until we pass out. Oh, I receive. Oh. There's a place for laying on of hands. I believe in laying on of hands. But I also believe that some people need to grow up and realize who they're joined to. Because otherwise they'll have a dependency relationship with the altar that they were never meant to have. And if that dependency relationship feeds the minister, bad news to that minister, because Jesus never said to make people dependent on you. The role of the ministry is to get people walking in the freedom of Christ so that when they stand alone, no weapon. Listen, I'm not just mighty in this church because I'm with you. If I'm in, Walmart again in the canned aisles and a demon comes up to me, I can rip the face off of that thing in the middle of Walmart as I can here. I don't go, oh, where's my Christian friends? I'm like, you devil, you're not stopping me getting my wife some pumpkin mix. You're in my way. You get out of the way, I'll rip your face off. I have got a whole bag full of all things Thanksgiving. Seriously, I've got three tins of Libby's. You can't. Libby's pumpkin mix. Cranberry jelly. Plates. Aunt Jemima syrup. I mean, you know, I've come and harvested in the colonies. And I'm bringing it back now to... taking it back to the motherland. I've reaped. Got my harvest. Been to Bath and Body and got all my kids a little... not my boy, because he's not like that. My girls. You know, hey, Ethan, here's a Bath and Body body spray. I deserve that. We've got to find something for Ethan. I was thinking that today. I don't know what. We've got to find something. All right. Okay. All right. Look on your iPad. I'm joking. Don't you joke. All right. Come on. Let's bring us in for a landing. He was like, crushed him there in a moment. All right. So you can walk away from stuff when you realize it's Christ in you. It's good that you understand the purpose of the altar in your life and the man of God in your life. But you need to not be dependent in a negative way. You need to know who you are in Christ and live out of that revelation. Okay. So your life is strengthened. You don't have to be Gulliver tied down anymore. Let me just finish with this. If you want to minister to others, you just have a revelation that you're connected to the vine and the life of the vine flows through you into the life of others. Again, I've seen other people almost like when they're praying for people, I'm like, you're hurting that person. Get off of them. And yeah, come on, you ever been in that altar queue when someone squeezes your head and you like start blacking out? You're like, get your fingers out of my brain. Or they're shoving you like, I'm not going down. If you don't go down, that's 1 point less on who I think I am. You've got to go down. We've got to have everyone down. Otherwise, I'm not a good minister. I've seen a whole bunch of people go down and get up absolutely no different. And I've seen people stand up, not go down and be changed. Hey, I go down on a good day. You get me near the anointing, I'm down. I'm a mess. I'm under the chair shaking. I'm just like, you know, it's like Rodney is a dear friend of mine. Get me near Rodney and he picks on me. Because he does. He's like, he walks around. And you think, oh, no. And he comes back and he goes, and I'm sitting there like, and he'll go away. And you're like, I'm so going to get it in a minute. And he comes, when Roddy prays to me, I fly across four rows of chairs. I'm under it. Oh, I'm gone. You know, I'm like, so I can fall down like the best of them. But I can receive standing up. I can receive when I'm reading the word. I can receive because I'm not dependent on a man. They're gifts of God to my life. But my union with God is personal. It's me joined to him in Christ. So when you pray for people, you just release the life of the vine. That's what you do. Simple. If they can't receive, that's their problem. But the amount of how much pressure I put on praying people doesn't change anything unless I'm making the miracle happen. If a miracle, I can't heal a fly of a head cold. I can kill a fly with hairspray. I taught that the other night. So we just got to relax a little bit. So when I pray for someone, like if I come to Tom.
Oh, God.
I mean. I just, you are worried. You're sweating so much. Holy Spirit, just let him have what you have for him. My life is just jump leads. I'm attaching one battery to another. Just release the life of the vine. Just release the life of the vine. Just release. See, when you've got living hands on a living head, it works. But a lot of Christians, you pray for them, they're deadheads. They don't know how to receive.
That's right.
We've got to teach people how to receive correctly. He's receiving right now. God's downloading some stuff. How do I know that? Because my other hand's connected to him. Put him up, Lord. Yeah, just stand up for a second. Sometimes, again, we've got to break some traditions. Is this useful? Because we think, oh, you got it, now get on with your life. Sometimes when people are empty, I'm not calling you empty, I'm just using this as an example. Sometimes when people are living empty, they have no prayer life. They say, well, the guy prayed for me, nothing happened. It's because you're empty. When the guy prays for you, what he does is he puts the nozzle of, you're in the gas station and he's putting the nozzle in your tank. And now you just got to draw. You've got to draw. So sometimes I'm in prayer queues and I'm praying for people and I pray for them quickly because I'm just there to flick a switch for the Lord. It's all about what he does. It's not about what I do. But other times the Lord says, go back and just stay with him for a while. So like with Tom, if I just put my hands on him now, I just release the anointing. I'm not straining. Do I look like I'm having a bad day? No, I don't. Because I'm a branch. Branch. Oh, he's the vine. And you just begin to release. God begins to fill up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And again, stop waiting for him to fall down. Not points make prizes. And you just release what God's doing. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the Lord reveals to you what he's doing. Sometimes the Lord says it's none of your business. Well, I think I'll never think of the Lord to... Shut up. Sometimes God's doing stuff that's private. And then you can suddenly get surges. Filled! Right now, like that. And you release a surge. Let's sit back down, Tom. Let's de-spook some of his stuff, for goodness sake. If you saw Jesus doing that, go ahead and do it. But he didn't. He was very gentle, but full of authority. Because he knew who he was connected to. May your revelation day from this time together just simply be this. If I'm leaving you with marching orders, they're very simple. Remain in him. And if you do, you'll walk in power like you don't know. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit will grow. I'm working on patience. Well, stop working and yield. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the nature that's now in you. Just yield. What about the gifts of the Spirit? Yeah, they're there too. But again, let's stop being Pentecostal collectors of gifts. Well, I've got the gift of... You ain't got nothing. You've got what he lets you use. Well, I've got the gift of it. Are you collecting them? Do you get them out of cereal boxes or what? Have you got a little showcase? Oh, I've got 7, only another 2 to go. How about we just treat the gifts of the Spirit like a toolbox? Because if I'm a plumber and I need a wrench, a hammer is no good. Right. And so when I'm in situations, I say, Lord, what tool do you need to use? Here. Yeah. And I'm so glad I'm not a man with one tool. Got my hammer. Everything looks like a nail. Yeah. Sometimes I need to say, Lord, what you're doing here needs a screwdriver. The man of God is the man that can reach into the old and the new and take what he needs to release God. So, hey, I'm an apostle, I get that. I can touch gifts in all the offices, but the gifts of the Spirit in my life are what God needs for the moment in hand. So when people say to me, what's the best gift of the Spirit, the one you need for what you're doing? Simple. So again, if you're in the vine and you see a need or something that needs to be repaired, you just say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Give me the tool that I need to fix this. But what we do as Pentecostals is, like I said, we treat the gift of tongues like it's a Pentecostal membership card. We don't use the power of it in our daily life. We do now because we've all been educated, amen? Yes. But prior to the Lord re-educating me, I did it. You were Christian, yeah, you were Pentecostal. Shaka-da-da. That was it. I'm like, huh? But now I've got it in my heart. Sukobara Mosondora Basi. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, you're not moving shadows in this realm, you're shifting objects in the other realm. Most of my life, I don't realize, I can realize now, I'm shifting shadows. And you can't shift a shadow. You have to shift the thing that's creating the shadow. And you won't do that in this realm. You shift things in that realm and they manifest in this realm. Oh, I wish someone would have told me this 20 years ago. I've been such a nut job. I've been trying, like, I nearly burnt myself out trying to shift things. It couldn't be shifted because you can't shift a shadow. I don't know where I am right now. I'm around here somewhere. Yeah, he is behind me. You try shifting. You aren't shifting. You've got to shift this. And so when we pray in the Spirit, it's the weapon of our warfare. Our praise is a weapon. Our worship is a weapon. Amen. When we fast, we do it not because of legalism, but because we're so hungry for what we want more than what we're going to eat. You know, again, Daniel fast. Come on, let's get Pentecostal religion out of Daniel fast. It's amazing. When I was thinking about a Daniel fast recently, I thought, what was actually said? It actually only says in Daniel that he kept away from two or three things. And the key component was things that he found delightful. But today, thank you, America, you've produced the Daniel fast recipe book. What the heck? Where is it in the Bible? It's not there. Sorry, America. Oh, this is the Daniel fast. And other people, they're like, I'm fasting. Oh, have I lost much yet? It's a diet. You're on a diet. Just face it. A fast is when you pick pleasant things that mean something to you. Other times people say, well, if you're going to be on Daniel fast, you've got to fast this and this. And I'm thinking, that's cool because I don't even like those things. I could do this all day. I could do this all day, every day of the week. I can live in a Daniel fast.
You wanted them donuts.
Yeah. But Charlie turns up at the hotel, and I've been on a bit with Daniel. He says, 12 donuts. I'm like, get ye behind me. I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to the Spirit operating through the donut. Again, Jesus must look at what we do and say, you're lunatics, aren't you? He must. He's like, you guys are lunatics, aren't you? The guy just said, I won't drink wine, I won't eat meat, and I'll keep away from things that I consider pleasant. Daniel fast up. But then when he did it, he got the understanding of what God had released 21 days ago when he prayed. And so let's just get real with it and stop being English and American with all this stuff. And you know, it's like the Daniel fast recipe book. Seriously? The guys must be making a fortune out of it. And I looked through Daniel, I was like, where are the lentils? Where are the grains? Where are the oatmeal milk cakes? Stay off the bottle, meat was the other one, and nothing pleasant. In fact, your soul will tell you what you need to fast.
Yeah. Netflix.
There we go, we've got confession happening on the front row here. Loose him from Netflix, Lord.
Yes.
iPhones, emails.
Yes.
You really want to go there with me?
Yes.
You really want to dance in the ring with me, dear? Do you know the best fast I've found? It's so simple. I thought, is this even real? I said, hey, soul, what do you want? It told me. I went, that's what I'll fast. Because I'm disciplining my soul. Not from the things it can take or leave, but the things it loves. Anyway, I've gone probably over and stuff like that. Did you get something this morning?
Yes.
The key thing is remain in him. Remain in him. Without him, you can do nothing. With him, you can do anything. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you get Christians that go, and I'm not underplaying what happened in their life, but they go, I just can't forgive. There you go. You have no revelation that you're in Christ. Because Christ in you will give you the forgiveness you need to release people.
Amen.
I can't get over that. Well, you better, because God got over some stuff about you. Forgiveness plays a key part of salvation. If you've been forgiven, forgive you must. But sometimes things are horrific and you can't forgive them in your own strength. That's why you have to say, I'm in him and his forgiveness is in me. Him vine, me branch. Lord, let my life bear fruit that brings you glory. A lot of people were giving God the credit for things he didn't do. They did it in their own strength. And that's good, but God isn't impressed. Because what glorifies the Father is what he did through you. By his spirit. And that's what I want to do. So this is my journey too. I'm not like Yoda at the point of like perfection. Like I'm not sitting here going, wise I am. I mean, I'm not like this little green man like, arrived I have. Clever I am. I'm still learning. But I am a Jedi. No, don't get those poles out on me again or anything like that. So like, oh yeah, we've got poles. No. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. You're so good to us, Lord. You're so good to us. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. Lord Jesus, you smile over us. You're so good. You laugh at us when we don't laugh at ourselves, Lord. Oh, how we must amuse you, Lord, with all our little strongholds and things that we cherish that mean nothing to you, nothing to you, nothing to you, nothing to you. Lord, how we must make you giggle in heaven, Father. We must. But you love us. You love us so much. You loved us enough to separate us from a wild olive tree that was corrupt by nature and join us back to yourselves so that your holiness could be our holiness and your life could be our life. Lord, we thank you this morning. Just for a couple of moments, close your eyes and just begin to thank the Lord for the life of a vine. Just let the Holy Spirit begin to surge right now. You don't need to stand at the front. You can do it in your chair, because if you come to the front, you'll always have to come to the front. When I wake up in the mornings, I release the life of the vine. I've been teaching you my simple prayers. I say, I'm dead. I know I'm dead. I reckon myself dead. Now I present myself to the Lord. One of my other key prayers, if you hear me walking in the mornings, is simply, you're the vine, I'm the branch. You're the vine, I'm the branch. Let your life be my life today. Let your nature be my nature. Let your gifts be my gifts. Let your fruit be born in me today, Lord, because you're the vine. I'm the branch. I did nothing. You joined me to yourself. I was unable to connect myself. You joined me. I'm joined to you by faith alone, Lord. It's only faith that joins me to you, but I am joined. So here we go, Lord. Just surge through me. I've got one last story. Who will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. We're good for another 10 minutes. Oh, he better not have gone off to check his iPhone. Where did he go? In there? What are you doing?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. It's all right. I think he's about the father's business, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Some of you don't even want to come to my church anymore now, right? You're like, at the beginning, like, oh, I'd like to come to his church. You really want? I'm awful. Okay, let's finish with this story and then we're done. There was an old man that had an apple tree in his garden. And when it came to the season of fall, as you would call it in America, all of the leaves fell off of that tree except one. And this leaf began to taunt him. Look at me, I'm still here. Look at me, I'm still here. And so this old man got a chair and a broom handle, stood on it and tried to beat this leaf down. But the leaf just laughed at him, I'm still here. I'm still here. And so the old man got another chair and sellotaped it or duct taped it to the other chair, got another broom handle, and he's wobbling on top of his chair trying to get this remaining leaf. And he goes to swing and everything collapses. He lands on the back, the broom handle hits him on the head. And he's laying there. And this leaf is just going, I'm still here. And then the Lord spoke to him. Why are you living out of nature, outside of nature? Don't you realize that when springtime comes, the life of the vine comes up the trunk into the branch and naturally pushes out every old leaf and replaces it with a new green one. Sometimes I can remember when I first got saved, my list of sins was so different to his. I was like, Lord, I've got to give up smoking. I've got to get up drinking. I had this whole list and I was like, don't you care that I'm smoking? Oh no, the Lord showed me later there were worse things on my list. I didn't realize that till afterwards. And Christians don't help, did they? I remember going to church and I smell of tobacco and Christians would go, hey, you won't go to hell, you just smell like you've been there. Thank you. That really encouraged me. I really feel empowered to beat this thing, you know. Oh, cigarettes, feather nails in your coffin. Hey, get free, bro. Thank you. Whew, I feel so strong. But one day when the life of the vine got to that part of me, it was simple. I was so addicted to cigarettes, I couldn't stop in my own strength. I smashed my teeth out with mints. I tried that method. And herbal, I couldn't. But one day, I remember, I was walking over a bridge and the Lord said, it's time. I've been busy working in other things in your life, now it's time. And I said, Lord, so this is the cigarette moment. Yeah, okay. So I took the cigarettes and I said, I'll be a slave no more. And I threw them into a river and I walked away and I've never wanted to smoke ever again in the last 28 years. But before I was laying there, this leaf, I'm a sinner, I'm smoking. No, just the best thing you can do is just be released in the life of the vine. It'll deal with your pride, your arrogance, everything. Just let it flow through who you are. Lord, we thank you today. Is my every eyes closed? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, it isn't why should you, it's why wouldn't you? Oh, there's other opportunities, but what's wrong with this one? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, now again, it's not biblical to say, invite Jesus into your heart. It's biblical to say, bring your life to the foot of the cross and die, sucker. Come on, let's stop being so polite. If you're ready to stop being you and find out who you really are, then you need to come to the cross and you need to acknowledge your death so that you can discover your life. Because you're not meant to be a zombie. You're meant to be fully dead so you can be fully alive. So, okay, let's pray. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, let's just all pray this prayer. It's a good thing to finish with today. Just pray after me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But in you,
I die.
And I rise again.
I
want to remain in you. That your life would remain in me. And your word would remain in me. Today I believe. I see my old man crucified. The body of sin done away with. And me raised to newness of life. Everything that had authority on me has no more authority. I'm now joined to the tree of life. Holy Spirit, rush through me. Thank you, Lord. Just my every eye's closed, every head's bowed. If you're here today and you've prayed that for yourself today because you've been away from God or you've never known God, then just ever so quickly, I'm not going to drag you forward, make a scene of you. We're here to connect you to the Lord. That's our only part that we play. But if that's you today and you've prayed that prayer, the Bible says you've believed in your heart and it's good for you to make a confession. The confession I'm asking for is when I count to three, you lift your hand, you humble yourself and you lift your hand. And as you do, you'll lay hold of everything you just asked for. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand if that's you. Don't look around. Don't care what other people think. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there a fourth person? A fourth person. No one's calling you a sinner. We're just acknowledging that the sinner died. Fourth person? Come on, there's two others. Don't let pride be your friend. Who do you think you are? You need God. Just go ahead and be obedient. God bless you. One more. God bless you. You're going to start a new journey today. You're going to start a new... One more person. You don't have to. I'm not going to come and prophetically pick you out the crowd. You know. Do you want it? Or do you not? It's going to wait. There's one more person that needs to respond. Thank you. Father, I just pray right now for just a fresh release of your spirit on each of these people. Thank you for this time we've had together this weekend, Lord. I pray that anything that wasn't fruitful that came from my lips falls to the ground and doesn't remain. But everything that was of you, that you did, Holy Spirit, let it bear much fruit, I pray. Just speak blessing over Pastor Charlie and Pastor Susie today, Father. I just pray that the refreshing that you've begun this weekend will continue. The deposit that was made will bear much fruit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So please keep us in prayers. Give us your prayers. Give us your heart. Give us your support. What we're doing in England is at a crucial moment. We need you to be standing with us. Please buy the books you need to buy. They're going to be gone later on. So don't think, tomorrow I'll buy my book. Tomorrow I thought about it today. No, they're going to be gone tomorrow. You need to buy them today, all right? And Breakfast of Champions 2, I'm serious, don't buy your friends socks and that for Christmas. You buy them Breakfast of Champions 1 or 2, you'll give them a gift that keeps on giving throughout the year and God can keep on speaking through them. It's amazing what those books have done in people's lives. Amen. Listen, thank you. My mum always taught me to say thank you for having me.